Natural Resource Subcommittee of the Joint Ways and Means to order and open the work session on House Bill 5035. Sue, would you like to present your summary?
Certainly, Mr. Chair and members of the subcommittee. This is the budget bill for the Land Use Board of Appeals. And I've distributed to you copies of my memo and then the detailed spreadsheets that you're probably used to seeing by now. And I'll be working off the memo as we go through my recommendations for the budget. So that first section is just a summary that provides you with some historical data on the agency's budget, and as you can see, the governor's recommended budget is about $1.4 million for the agency, primarily from the general fund, and includes 6.5 FTE. And the LFO recommended budget in total is $1.3 million, about $1.25 million of that being general fund and the balance other funds, and then 6 FTE and 6 positions. So it's a half FTE less than the governor's recommended budget and one less position. It's about a 2.6% increase over the 0103 legislatively approved budget and a 7.3% decrease from the governor's budget. So if you turn your attention to item 2 there, that's the start of the detailed budget recommendations. The first one would be package 001, which is the employee compensation freeze. And this eliminates the 0305 merit increases that are included in the budget. And that would be a reduction of $12,001 general fund. Package 002, the vacant position elimination. The agency has one vacant position currently, but I've addressed that in policy option package 101, which we'll talk about in a little bit, and so I'm not recommending any adjustment in that particular package in the spreadsheet. Package 003 is the inflation adjustment, and this adjustment eliminates the general fund inflation in the budget except for rent and the attorney general charges. Actually, there are no attorney general charges in this budget. It also doesn't address the state government service charges, which are addressed in another package. I have retain some, or I recommend that you retain some other funds inflation for publications, which involves addresses one of the agency's core missions, which is to publish their opinion. So it's about $1,100 that I would recommend that you retain in other funds. It doesn't affect the general fund. So package 003 would be a reduction of $2,259 general fund and $35 other funds. 004, again, there's no there are no budgeted AG costs for 0305 in this budget, so there's no recommended reduction for the reduction in the Attorney General hourly rate. And then package 005 is the Department of Administrative Services assessment reduction, and that reduces the budget by $1,008 general fund.
Is there any discussion? Is there any objection to these packages or these items? Do we need a motion at this point?
Mr. Chair and members, we can wait until I go through all the recommendations, and you can do one motion if you like. So if you turn the memo over, item 2B there addresses the policy option packages. 092 would restore two positions that were eliminated as a result of the failure of Measure 28, and that includes a staff attorney position and an administrative specialist position at half-time. And in the governor's budget, this would be $206,690 general fund. What I'm recommending is that you go ahead and approve restoration of the staff attorney position. I think this is a key position that allows the agency to keep up to date on the appeal workload and meet its statutory timelines of issuing its opinions on those appeals, but not approve the AS1 position due to a proposed staffing restructure, which I'll talk about when we get to policy option package 101 next. So if you approve the restoration of the staff attorney position, that would add $142,138 general fund to the budget. In policy option package 101, that's for the publications coordinator position, and you might recall that this is a position which has been approved on a limited duration basis for about the last two biennia to help the agency get up to date on its publications backlog and also the appeals backlog, because it freed up the staff attorney and board member time that was being spent on the publications. Rather than adding, though, the publications coordinator back on either a limited duration or a permanent basis, what I'm recommending is that you instead approve the establishment of a paralegal 2 position and a 1.0 FTE at a cost of $76,752 general fund and $25,584 other funds, and also instruct the agency to work with the Department of Administrative Services Human Resources Service Division to ensure that the position classification of the paralegal 2 is appropriate for the duties to be assigned. And what essentially what this does is it takes the administrative specialist at a salary range 17 and the publications coordinator at a salary range 22 and replaces them with the paralegal at a salary range 21. And so certain duties that the publications coordinator was previously doing would have to go back to either the staff attorney or the board members, and then the paralegal would spend about half of its time, that position would spend about half of its time on the publications duties and then about half of the time on administrative duties. The agency actually came forward with this proposal and believes that it's workable. I've talked with the Department of Administrative Services Human Resource Division, asked them to take a quick look at the proposed position description for the paralegal 2. They believe what the agency intends to have this position do is appropriately classified as a paralegal 2, but the Human Resource Services Division would like to do its usual formal review of the position description. So I recommend that the agency continue to work with HRSD on that.
So I want to make a comment first, Senator Deuce, then I'll take your question. We also discussed whether they could keep up the workload with these reductions, and it is going to be tight, but I think the restructuring will do the best they can, and we also discussed that should they have a surge or an increase in appeals, that they could come back to the EE board and make their case. So, Senator Dukes.
Well, I remember when we first gave them the limited duration, it was because they hadn't had anybody and they were really backlogged. But they caught it up, and if I remember correctly, I'm not sure I do, but the workload, if it stays the way it has been, doesn't look like it's heavy enough to get them behind the eight ball. And I agree with you that if they do, then they need to come in to the emergency board. But I'm, I guess, a little confused. It seems to me that this paralegal position, half of it's going to be doing that same publications kind of stuff, which is, I mean, a paralegal is pretty spendy for that, even if it's only half the position. I'm sure they can use the paralegal on their other stuff. Is this a permanent position?
Mr. Chair and Senator Dukes, it would be a permanent position. Essentially, what it, again, in 0103, they had seven positions, and out of those seven, one of them was the limited duration publications coordinator, one the permanent administrative specialist, one position, and essentially what you would be doing is combining those two into the one paralegal position and leaving them with six positions. So they actually are down one position compared to 0103 and even 99-01.
So part of me, Mr. Chair, that wonders if we couldn't identify this position or do something with it so we can check next session and see if it worked. I mean, we're taking an educated guess here, and it may work perfectly fine, but it may not meet their needs and things. On the other hand, I'm real aware that if you make it limited duration, you have trouble recruiting. Now, maybe right now you wouldn't have trouble recruiting because it's pretty hard to find any job you'd have trouble recruiting for today. But so I don't want to do any damage to the agency, but we've fussed about this for a couple of sessions now, and it would just be nice to know if we finally hit the nail on the head or if we missed the board entirely.
I think it might be beneficial for the department to come forward. Do you have a follow-up, or do you want to?
No.
That was
I don't have a real finite recall of the performance measures, but my recollection is that we did have some kind of a performance measure that measured the backlog. And so it would seem that in the next session, when we revisit the budget, that's one of the things we are going to be paying attention to. Because it was, you know, I remember from the last session that was the critical issue with the agency, was making sure that those opinions could be gotten out within the statutory time frame that they were required to be brought out on, and that they did actually achieve that goal with the addition of the editor position. And that was the intention of having it be limited duration, was so that we could gauge that. So I think that, you know, the halftime was clearly effective. And that, that I feel confident that this is a good solution to the problem, and I think that the agency is definitely to be commended for being creative and coming up with a solution. And I think that the issue, we have tried it on a limited duration basis, and it worked. And I feel confident that continuing it on a permanent basis will give the whoever's in that position some certainty that will be a position that will continue and give the agency some stability. I think they really need some stability right now.
Where would you like to make a comment?
Mr. Chair, Senator Duke, Representative Morgan. There actually were two backlogs, one a backlog in the getting out the opinion and a publications backlog.
I need your name for the record.
I'm sorry, thank you. I'm Todd Basham from the Land Use Board of Appeals. And the publications coordinator was essential in eliminating both those backlogs. It set up got us back on track in terms of publications, and it freed the board up to concentrate on eliminating the backlog of cases. Under the current proposal with the paralegal, we think that'll be inappropriate. It gives us less capacity if we run into trouble, but I think in a normal caseload, we can both meet our publication goals and our case goals. About half the work of the paralegal will be done by the staff attorney in terms of the sort of the higher functioning of downdrafting, making sure the opinions are correct and citations are correct and so forth, and some of the more publication-oriented, making sure the binding is done correctly and setting up the formats of the opinions in the books will be done by the paralegal as half of her position. It also gives us a connect between the paralegal and the front desk, the administrative functions, which wasn't there before. So in some ways, it's actually more efficient than the original proposal. I hope that answers your question.
Okay.
Just hope for the best, and I'll take Representative Morgan's judgment.
But we'll pray a lot here for the next 2 years. So.
Maybe not over this.
Are we ready for a motion?
Mr. Chair, I would move that the committee accept the LFO recommendation for the adjustment packages and the LFO recommendation on policy package 092 and 101.
Any further motion? Is there a discussion of the motion? Any objection? Motion carries.
Next, Mr. Chair and members of the subcommittee, is item 2C, which describes the necessary bill amendments, and that would be in line 6 to delete the $1,345,871 and insert $1,249,074, and that's for the general fund appropriation. And then in line 7, delete $67,176 and insert $61,482, and that's for the other funds expenditure limitation.
Motion?
Mr. Chair, I would move that the committee accept the LFO recommendations to amend House Bill 5035 as stated in the memorandum.
You've heard Representative Morgan's motion. Discussion of the motion? Objection? Motion carried.
And next, Mr. Chair, is item C on performance measures, and these are discussed on pages 22 through 29 of the agency's budget document. And when you heard those back in January of this year, you didn't indicate that you wanted any changes. And LFO recommends adoption of the performance measures as presented.
Motion.
Mr. Chair, I move that we accept the LFO recommendation on the performance measures.
You've heard the motion. Is there discussion? Objection? Motion carried.
Next, Mr. Chair and members of the subcommittee, is the ending balance review. And as I mentioned earlier, this agency's budget is primarily general fund, but they do have other funds from the agency's sales of publications of its opinions and orders. And in the governor's budget, there is a projection of an ending balance of $7,139 other funds in its in the agency's publication account as of July 1st of 2005. Since they publish a volume about every 5 to 6 months at a cost of about $11,000 to $12,000 per volume, they usually keep a reserve equal to the cost of producing the next volume in this publication's account. And with the LFO recommendations, the ending balance would be $12,833, again, approximately equal to the cost of producing one volume. And LFO believes that this level of reserves is appropriate and recommends that the balance be retained by the agency.
Sue, we normally budget for at least a two-month reserve.
That's correct.
Far below that, isn't it?
Mr. Chair, it I guess it depends on how you look at it. Rather than looking at it as how many months worth of operating expenditures they have, it's more how many volumes can they publish with the reserves that they have. And again, they try to keep at least one volume's worth of costs in the publications account, because typically the costs are incurred prior to selling the volumes. So it's a little bit different probably from the other reserves that you've been seeing and how you kind of look at them in terms of months of months of operating expenditures in the reserves.
Okay. Are we ready for a motion?
Mr. Chair, I move that the committee accept the LFO recommendation on the ending balance.
There's a motion. Is there discussion? Motion carries.
Mr. Chair, I would move. Oh, you want to make the recommendation, Sue, that we move it, or you want to just hit? I'm just going to make the motion that House Bill 5035 be moved to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation as amended.
You've heard the motion. Is there a discussion of the motion? Any objection to the motion? Motion carries. And Senator Duke, could you carry
it? Happy to. Well, I was afraid after today's floor session you might never let me carry a bill again.
I gave you a second chance.
Okay.
And we need a House carrier. Representative Krieger would love you. What should we do, Representative Johnson, again? That would
those who aren't here, carry the load.
I wouldn't object to Representative Johnson. She's really good at the animal park bills. This one will just be another.
We'll broaden her experiences.
Yeah.
Yeah, she'll know everything about all these agencies.
With that, we'll close the work session. And is there anything to announce, Sue?
Make sure you keep her speech nice and short there.
Yes, please.
Just read whatever Sue prefers. We aren't. She went to our next meeting.
Mr. Chair, I didn't bring the schedule with me.
I think I passed one out yesterday. Wednesday.
I think that's correct. I think we did cancel Tuesday. That's correct. And I think there was a request from staff who are going to be handling those grants next Wednesday to start the meeting at 1:30 rather than 1 o'clock, if that's okay with the subcommittee members.
Do we know what grants they are?
I believe they're Department of Agriculture grants, but I'm not sure if they've been assigned yet or approved by the co-chairs.
They got their paperwork in early, right?
The last I heard, we did
didn't know if they were going to, if there was going to be any.
That's correct. Yeah.
So when will we know?
Mr. Chair, I'll ask again. Yeah, and we'll give you as much notice as we can as to whether or not.
So let's plan on 1:30.
1:30 Wednesday.
On Wednesday.
Unless we hear differently.
Unless you hear
differently. And nothing Tuesday.
Perfect. So with that, have a good weekend. We adjourn the committee.